My guest, Fernando Velas, shares how painful being in the closet and unable to be himself was for him. He describes how hard he tried to get the love and validation that he needed from others, friends, and partners. It never worked out that way. He experienced constant rejection until he realized that he couldn't expect acceptance or love from others unless he was willing to give it to himself first. Fernando is obviously an old soul who shares much wisdom. If you struggle with accepting and loving yourself, this episode is for you. Hello, Fernando Velas, and welcome to the Authentic Gay Man podcast. I am glad to have you here today, sir.
Hey, thank you so much for the invitations. I'm very happy to be here. It's a pleasure.
Thank you. And I feel that. I'm feeling that right now. So thank you for that. All right. Well, before we jump in, why don't you take a minute and tell the listeners how you and I know each other?
Well, we met each other through a Facebook group called the Rainbow Circle, where it's pretty much a support group of gay men that are seeking to improve themselves. So, yes, that's how we met.
Yes, and we've known each other, I'm thinking, for maybe about 6 or 7, maybe 8 months now, seems like.
Yeah, seems about right.
Yeah.
A few months now.
Yeah, awesome. All right. Well, with that, let's just jump right in. So before we get to the big question, tell me what it means to you to be an authentic gay man.
I think to be an authentic gay man, it's being who you are, accepting who you are without taking in consideration other people's opinions. So just pretty much being yourself.
You know, I love the one word that really stuck out for me that you said just then was accepting yourself. And I don't know that I've heard anybody else describe it like that. And I absolutely love that. I hadn't thought of it, but I have to agree with you. Part of our authenticity is accepting ourselves for who we truly are. Beautifully said, Fernando. Beautifully said. Okay, so down to the big question. So what has been your biggest challenge in this lifetime that you've either gone through or maybe you're continuing to go through and still unpacking and working on that?
I'd say that one of my biggest challenges for sure is coming out was one of the hardest challenges, coming out and also loving myself, because it was a pretty tough journey of discovering and acceptance and self-love that I had to go through in order to be who I am now and to be happy.
So may I ask how old you are?
I'm 30 years old.
Okay. And how old were you when you came out?
I was 24.
I was 24 when I came out. All right. So 6 years.
Yes.
There's still a certain newness to it, isn't there?
Yes, I'm pretty new still, but still learning and trying to find out, you know, about gay world.
Well, let's unpack that then. What has been, you know, the coming out? I certainly get that, but tell me more in detail what the biggest challenges have been and how you navigated that.
Well, you know, since I grew up, I pretty much always knew that I was gay, and I had to kind of like shut my feelings and the way I wanted to do things because of, first of all, the religion. I grew up Mormon, so obviously I couldn't show who I was. And second of all, because of culture, as you are taught since you are young. Well, not my parent, because my parent wasn't like that, but a lot of people here in Mexico have this mindset that if you are a man, you need to be, you know, tough and shut your feelings. You men don't cry and you have to be tough and all that. So pretty much was very hard for me to be who I was and to accept who I was. And Of course, growing up, I always thought that there was something wrong with me, or that I couldn't be who I was because people wouldn't accept who I was. So that was the biggest challenge.
And how did you break through that?
Well, it took several years. It took several years for sure, because that path that I just told you about led me to pretty much hate myself. And I didn't want to be me. I was always, you know, comparing myself to other people. What if I was straight? I wanted to be like him, you know, like, and have a perfect life, or at least what it looked like it was a perfect life. And it was a very, I was unhappy and trying to be, to fake who I was, of course. And I broke through that until I came out, pretty much. I realized that I needed to accept myself and to love who I am.
And what was it, Fernando, that brought you to that point of being able to break through that? And what was it that brought you to knowing that you needed to self-accept and you needed to love yourself?
Well, it's going to be a long explanation. I will share a little bit more in detail about how I came out to that thinking. So pretty much, like I told you, through all these years, it's like I had a burden on my shoulder. I didn't have anyone to share this with, you know, like I wanted to tell somebody, you know, I'm gay and I want to be myself, because, you know, growing up, you always hear like, you know, there's something wrong with you, or you have a demon, or, you know, you're not going to go to heaven, or you don't have enough male hormones, so that's why you're gay and stuff like that. You know, you hear all these stupid things that people say. So I was pretty much unhappy with myself. I even tried to commit suicide when I was 16 because of how unhappy I was. The burden that I felt was so big that I couldn't bear it anymore.
You were just continually getting messages of how wrong you were.
Yes, exactly. And then after that, I tried to kind of like shut my feelings a little bit and not to think about how I was feeling at that moment. And I went for a 2-year mission. Since I was Mormon still at that point, I went to a mission. I was sent to Idaho and I was there for 2 years. So when I came back, I thought that I was still going to be part of the church, that I was going to be active, you know, and let's forget about my feelings. Let's forget about what I want, my needs, and let's just focus on helping others and going to church. And that's it. You know, there's not going to be anything. I'm not going to be involved in any kind of gayness, or my feelings don't matter. So, but as the years passed by, because when I came back, I was 21. The years passed by and I was thinking, you know, I'm not really happy. There's something missing. I feel empty. I feel alone. Even though I have my family that love me, I still feel alone. What is wrong in my life? Like, what's wrong? And that's when I come to the conclusion that I'm not happy, because I have not accepted who I am. I'm still rejecting the person that I am, the person that I pretty much how I was born. I'm rejecting that person. And I say to myself, I cannot do this anymore. I cannot keep pretending that I'm someone that I'm not, because I'm gay and that's who I am. You know, I can't deny it. I cannot hide it, you know? So that's when I decided, you know, it's time. I cannot keep running away from myself and keep hiding, because I can't.
You know, I want to call out, you said you realized you were rejecting yourself. And I want to call out because I, through my own experience and through my work with gay men and the friends that I've had, I think that oftentimes we experience so much rejection from society and from other people. And I think it's important for us to realize that if you really want to boil it down, the vast majority of that rejection is the world reflecting back to us our own rejection of self. I know for me that when I finally came to the point where I stopped rejecting myself, I stopped making myself wrong internally, magically, all of the rejection that I had experienced out in the world came to an abrupt end. As soon as I fully embraced and accepted me, it seemed that the vast majority of the world did too, followed suit and accepted me. What was your experience of that? As you moved into that, you stopped rejecting and began to accept Fernando for who and what he is and was. How did that affect the outside world around you?
That's pretty much exactly what happened. You know, like I wasn't being authentic with myself. So I guess people noticed it, that what's wrong with him, you know, like there's something odd with him. So when I came out, it was a very liberating experience. All of a sudden, it's like I experienced like this happiness that came to me. And little by little, I started to feel that burden was, you know, leaving me and that I could be myself. And, you know, it still took me some time to like tell people, like, you know, the first person that I told was my sister. And she told me, well, do you want to tell my parents? And I told her, yes, I want. So after I told my sister, the next day I told my parents. I was scared because I wasn't sure how were they going to take it. And I told them, you know, I'm gay and I think that I will be leaving church because I cannot be a hypocrite. I cannot, you know, go to church and say that I'm going to do these things when I know that I'm not going to follow them. So they were a little bit surprised, but at the end, they accepted me and they told me, you know, we're going to love you no matter what, because you are our son and we love you. And since that moment, I knew that everything was going to be okay.
That's beautiful, Fernando. And you're very blessed because not everybody has parents that so easily came around and accepted the way you're describing yours did.
Yes, I think that's one of the things that made it easier to know that I had the support of my sister and the support of my parents. That definitely helped me to move forward faster and to accept who I was faster and to share it with the rest of my family. And it came to a point that I was, you know, I'm just going to share it to everybody. Like, if you don't like it, well, it's not my problem anymore. I'm not going to keep shutting myself down or keep hiding who I am just because you don't like it. Not anymore.
So I want to backtrack a little bit because now, you know, you're in the present moment and you can look back on this and we can always see aspects of it when we look back that we couldn't see while we were in it. Mm-hmm. So when you look back on this experience of before you came out and the unhappiness and the pain, the rejection that you were rejecting yourself, mm-hmm. What was the fallout from that? How did that affect you? I mean, I know you said you were unhappy, but can you go deeper into that?
Well, I can definitely tell you that there's some things that don't change by just coming out, because definitely all the years that I went by rejecting myself and don't loving myself, I cannot tell you that, okay, I came out and all of a sudden, yes, I feel happier, but it still take me some time to realize that I still needed to work on myself and to love myself more. And that definitely affects in a point that sometimes, because you cannot love yourself enough, you try to find that love in somebody else. And it actually happened to me. The first relationship that I had, I guess I was looking for that love that I couldn't give myself, that I was not giving myself. Probably my thought process was, okay, somebody else is going to love me. And I ended up in a wrong relationship.
I think you're describing the foundation of many human relationships. I think there's probably an insanely high percentage of our relationships that are based on our inability to love ourselves, and we're seeking it from someone else.
Exactly. And not only that relationship, but also some other friendships. Yes, definitely that ended up wrong, and it was a failed relationship. But also the way my friendships worked, you know, I was always trying to look for approval to find that, you know, people telling me, oh, you know, you're good and you know, we love you, because I was trying to tell to seek for people's love instead of giving myself that love and that care that I needed. I guess I was trying to skip that part of, you know, self-discovery, self-love, and just trying to find for people to love me. And that hit me hard when I realized that that was not going to happen, that I couldn't just expect people to love me without me loving myself. So.
Yeah, you're definitely dropping some real wisdom here. So what I'm hearing you say that you're not saying in so many words is that when you came out is when the real work started.
Exactly. I thought that was gonna be it, that, you know, like all of a sudden, okay, I came out, I'm me. But there was so much emotional damage that I had from my experiences that I didn't notice, I didn't realize until I was experiencing friendship, experiencing relationships and failed attempts, that I needed a lot of work. That I might be like a good person and sensitive person, but that doesn't mean that just because I'm a good person, I'm ready, because I guess that we all need the work, we all need to be polished. And I needed that. And it took me several fail attempts in relationships and friendships to discover that, okay, you know what? You can't skip that part. You have to go through that work process in order to be who you want to be. You cannot expect other people to help you and tell you and give you the tools to change, to be yourself and to be happy, or that approval, because you don't need you. What you gotta do is you gotta find those tools. You gotta work in yourself, even though it's gonna hurt. It's gonna suck sometimes. It's gonna take a lot of pain. It's gonna take a lot of crying and tears, but it's something that you cannot skip. And that's what I went through. And that's the realization I came, that I found when I went through all this.
Well, and because life keeps on happening, so does the work.
Exactly.
I mean, I realized at some point many years ago that you never get finished doing the work. It's a lifelong process. I've been actively pursuing the work now for almost 40 years. And I suspect I will be doing my work until I take my last breath, because life keeps on happening and we continue to be exposed to new things, and we have new traumas and hardships, and the universe continues to present us with things that we've never been presented before. So how could we have done the work if we haven't been presented with it before?
Exactly.
And so the work goes on.
We always need to grow, to keep learning, to keep, it's like a plant, you know, we're like plants. We need water. We need the sun every day. Otherwise we die. We need to constantly, you know, keep nourishing ourselves, our spirit, our mind, because our emotions, even because sometimes we even try to hide our emotions. We can look perfectly fine and happy, but sometimes it's hard for us to share our emotions or the way we feel. And like you said, you know, new traumas come, new experiences come that affect us in different ways. And sometimes we think that we just move on from them. But no, we have to work on each individual experience and see what we take from it. And if there's something that I can improve or what happened there. So it's always work, work, work every day.
It is. And I often, after these many years, I often wonder, what would life be like if I didn't have work to do? I'm not talking about a job. I'm talking about the personal work. What would life be like if I didn't have that to do? And there's a lot of people out there that aren't doing the work, and I can't even imagine that. I can't even wrap my mind around it. I've been doing it for so long, I have no idea what it would be like to be living a life where I wasn't doing my work. I don't want to imagine it, quite frankly.
Yeah, definitely. It will be boring. And plus, it's needed, you know, that self-development, you know, the time changes, we change, our desire change, the things we want change constantly. So we got to keep working on ourselves.
We've got to keep up with it. So I'd love to know a little bit more. You realized that you were trying to get the love you needed from other relationships. You knew it needed to come from you. So what were some steps that you took, and how did you come to embrace and begin to love Fernando?
You know, it took me, my first relationship that I had with a man, it was a 3-year relationship. You know, sometimes when we love, we don't see things as they are. And we just care about that feeling of, oh my gosh, love is awesome. Love is awesome. And we keep telling ourselves how amazing love is. But the fact is that love can be good as can be bad, because I say that love is a drug too. It can be addictive. And we can get addicted to that feeling of loving somebody that sometimes we don't realize the effects that that has on us. And that's exactly what happened with me. I was, I guess, addicted to that feeling of how I felt with this person and how much love I gave to that person. And pretty much all the love that I had to put on myself, I was putting on that person. And yet, in the beginning, I guess I was looking for that love and I was receiving that love. But then after some years, that when the relationship changed and the dynamic of the relationship changed, there were some red flags that I wish I would have seen that I didn't see because of, I guess, my addiction to love, per se. I wanted to have this feeling, oh my gosh, I feel so great, that I didn't see that my partner was a narcissist, that I was being mistreated, and that it was not okay to be there. But I wanted to be there, even though I kind of knew that I shouldn't be there anymore, that I should have ended it. And yeah, so when it ended, it's when everything came.
You're describing denial.
Yeah.
You know, when we're more attached to that feeling of love than we are to our own health and well-being. And so we turn the other way. We turn the other cheek and we don't look at the obvious red flags that are flying all over the place. We put blinders on where the only thing we can see is just that illusion of love.
That's exactly right. Like everybody else could see it. Like my sister would tell me, you know, that's wrong. He shouldn't be doing that. Or, you know, you don't have to do this, or this is wrong. And she would tell me all the time, like, but I didn't want to believe her. I'm like, you know, he loves me. I love him. I don't care, you know? And I just know that I love him, that I want to love him. And when it ended, it's when I started to see all these little things that went wrong. And I was like, you know, I need and I have to change this, because this cannot go on. And I cannot drag this to the next relationship that I have or that I might have in the future. And that's when I started to work on myself. And one of the things that I guess saved me from pain and from drowning myself in my own sorrow was it's poetry. I like to write poetry. So I guess I kind of wrote my journey of the relationship, how it started, how it ended, and my pain through poems and through writing. And that helped me realize a lot of good things about myself and also a lot of bad things about myself that I needed to change in order to be ready for not only for the next relationship, but to be ready for whatever and to be ready for myself as well. And also to know that if I'm single, that's okay too, that I'm a work in progress and that whatever is going to come, it's going to come. And for sure, when the next relationship comes, that I'll be ready. And yes, that's what I realized. And it was a lot of self-discovery through writing, journaling, realizing the patterns that I had, the mistakes I did, and literally making new ones.
And where did self-forgiveness play into all this?
Well, definitely when I realized that all the crap that I went through, it was because of myself. Because when I told you that there's a moment that it hits you hard, and I was like, oh my gosh, how stupid I was. I'm very sorry for myself. You know, I had to forgive myself for everything that I put myself through. And,
you know, the beautiful thing about what you're saying right now, though, Fernando, is that you're taking responsibility. You didn't say, you know, what he put me through, because he could only put you through that if you allowed him to. I love that you're taking responsibility. You're saying this happened because I allowed it to happen.
Exactly.
And that's where our point of power is, because if somebody else is doing it to us, we don't have so much control. But when we realize that we're doing it by allowing it, that's where all our power is.
That's exactly right. You know, we have to own our mistakes. And yes, it was my fault, because I had the power to leave the relationship and to end what I was going through, but I didn't. So it's my fault. Yeah, probably it was not good, the things he did to me and the things he said to me, but I guess what he says and what he does is his own business to take care of. And what I do is my business to take care of. So I should have ended it. And like they say, one of my favorite writer says that you cannot trust the person who broke you your healing as well, because sometimes we We are expecting for that forgiveness. We are expecting that person to tell us, I'm sorry for what I did, or in order for us to move on. But we don't need their forgiveness to move on. You know, we can move on from ourselves, from forgiving ourselves for putting us through that situation, from doing the work. And that's pretty much what I did. You know, I was like, you know, I feel like I'm in pain. It took me like 1 year to get over that and to work on myself. But I came to a point where I was like, you know, I'm ready. I'm over it. And I don't have any feeling, negative feeling towards him or myself. I'm ready. I moved on.
That's beautiful. That's really beautiful. You said something a moment ago that I want to backtrack. You said, I realized it was my fault. And I'm kind of a word person because I think words have a lot of energy and power to them. And I just want to throw out there that, I want to ask you, you said it's my fault. Now, if you change that, I mean, think about how when you say it's my fault, how that feels. And then if you change that and you said it's my responsibility, does that feel different than it's my fault? Or does it feel the same?
Well, I guess that it's my responsibility is more like a positive word, you know, like it's my responsibility to take care of myself more than it's my fault because I should have, you know, done this. I guess it's more like a positive word, I would say. It's my responsibility.
When we say fault, when you say it's my fault, you're making yourself wrong. Mm-hmm. When you say it's my responsibility, you're empowering yourself.
Yes, it's more like a positive word. You know, it's my responsibility to take care of myself.
Words have energy, and that energy definitely affects us. You know, I just did I did a Facebook Live last week on the difference between saying I'm a survivor and I'm a thriver. They're quite different.
Yes.
They have very, very different energy. Surviving will drain you of energy, and thriving will build your energy up. And yet it's just a simple, they even rhyme. It's just a simple shift in words that changes the way we feel about life and ourselves.
Yes. Just like the sentence, are you surviving or are you living? Because a lot of people say that. They survive their daily day, or when we, it's our choice if we want to survive it or live it.
Exactly. So what would you say in all this experience, the 3-year relationship, the year you took to heal and to recover, the time you've spent working on self-love, what would you say has been the most profound result of that, the biggest change or aha?
I'd say that, you know, because after the end of the relationship, a lot of issues came with my self-image again about how imperfect I was, or that, you know, I'm not good enough, or I cannot be loved, or, you know, all these negative thoughts that came to my mind. So, but what I actually realized is that I'm an amazing person, that I'm worthy to be loved, that the perspective that other person has of me has nothing to do with who I really am, that yes, I am flawed, but still, I'm perfectly imperfect. I'm a work in progress. And there's actually a poem that I wrote about that, that we are all masterpieces and worthy of being appreciated and loved, but not everybody understands art. And that's exactly how it is with us. And as long as we understand where we at in our journey and how beautiful we are, that's what really matters. And that's the deepest understanding that I came with about myself, that I can be flawed, but still I can be perfect in my own way.
That's beautiful. And I feel that as you say that, that's really beautiful, Fernando. You have obviously done the heavy lifting, the work. So where are you now? What's going on now?
Well, right now, I'm still working on myself. I'm still learning, and I'm doing a lot of reading because I love reading self-help book, poetry books, because that they inspire me to keep writing and to keep expanding my mind and my self-love. I haven't found that relationship yet that I've been wanting, but you know, like I said, it's fine to be single, and as long as you keep working on yourself and keep loving yourself, it's what really matters. I'm trying to enjoy your life, whatever you do, and that's pretty much where I'm at right now.
And the work you're doing, how has it affected your friendships?
Well, you know, I've been able to find more meaningful friendships because, and actually I was talking with a friend about this the other day, that because he was telling me, I have a lot of friends, and I told him, well, I might not have a lot of friends, but at least I can say that the good friends, the really good friends I have, I know that I can trust. And for me, it's all about the quality than the quantity. So that definitely changed because since I was being honest and truthful to myself, I could connect with people easier. And they could tell that I was being genuine. And it's good that you told me this, because it actually happened yesterday. I made a new friendship. It was this girl that we met at this wedding that I attended, and she told me, you know, I like your energy. You seem like a very honest person. So we connected, and I'm thankful for all the growth that I had, and for not, because I didn't listen to the bad side of myself and the negative thoughts that I had for myself at that point, that I was able to push through those moments and do the work to be able to be who I am today. So that definitely affected my, and not only my friendships, but the relationship that I have with my family as well.
And what do you think gave you the strength and the courage to do what you just said?
You know, I realized that the love that I had for myself, it's greater than what I thought it was.
Beautiful. I love that. And a new friend. Congratulations. You know, friends are hard to come by.
Yes.
True friends. So, what would you say, based on your story and all of your experience, what would you say the number one wisdom bomb is that you'd like to drop on the listeners? If you could say any one thing to them, what would it be?
I would say that even though it might seem that everything is dark and that you cannot love yourself, I'd say that there's always light at the end of the tunnel, that you are perfect the way you are, even though sometimes you only see mistakes and all the imperfections that you have. It's like I said, you just need to be polished. But just because you are flawed, that doesn't mean that your value is less. And you are perfect the way you are. You just need some loving and work on yourself. I'd say that's one of the most beautiful things, when you come to the realization that you are perfectly fine, that you are not that person that a lot of people think or what the world says you are. So I'd say that that is the most beautiful thing that you can ever do, is come to the realization that you are perfect and that you can be loved and that you love yourself.
Perfect. I love it. Thank you for that, Fernando. That was beautiful. I loved hearing your story. It's a beautiful story. And I want to, what's coming to my mind now to ask you the question, have you been told in your life that you're an old soul?
Yes.
Yes.
I have. And actually my life number, it's 8, which is old. It goes 1 through 9. So I'm 8 and my sister is 9. She's older than me. But yes, I've been told that I'm an old soul. I'm old school as well. So I don't know.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me a bit. I sense that old soul in there, most definitely. So what a great story. All right. How about some rapid fire questions?
Sure.
You ready?
Yeah.
So when was the last time you cried in front of another gay man?
Oh my gosh. That was like 6 months ago, talking to my best friend.
Okay. So you are able to do that.
Yeah. You know, I don't mind if people see me cry. I'm a very emotional person and I like to be honest with my emotions. You know, for me, it's very hard to to hide my emotions. Like if I get angry, I'll get serious. Or if I'm happy, I'll smile. Or sometimes I'm also serious because I'm also thinking and pondering stuff. You know, sometimes I can see something and just think about randomness that comes to my mind, and then I get into a deeper thinking in my mind. But I'm a person that shows the emotions very easily. And also, if I need to cry, I will cry, and in front of a lot of people or in front of one person, I just do it.
Yeah, beautiful. You're describing transparency. So what is one thing that you hide or keep secret because you fear that if someone knew, they would judge you?
That's a good question. Right now, like, it's something, you know, it's not like a big thing, but it's a silly thing, but I like K-pop a lot. So, and a lot of people think K-pop is weird. So I guess that it's a silly thing. Like I say, I don't have any, you know, I'm a person that I don't really care what people think. So that's why I don't have like something big to say, because I'm a person that, okay, I'm being me. Like, if you don't like me, well, it's your problem, not my problem. So I tend to, if I want to be silly, I'll be silly. If I want to cry, or if I want to sing in a karaoke, I'll do it. I guess singing and being in a lot of karaoke also helped me with that, with self-confidence. But yeah, you know, I guess I'm very honest with everything I like, and I share it if I feel like I need to share it. And if you don't like it, or you don't care about it, well, it's your problem, not mine. So I pretty much don't care what people think.
One of my favorite sayings is, what you think about me is really none of my business.
Exactly.
I love that. So final question. What matters most to you and why?
That's an easy question. I'd say my family. My family is my biggest support. They have taught me so many things. They have loved me. They're always there for me. I know that I can always count on them. And they will always be there for me. So my family, definitely.
I love it. Well, Fernando, it has been a complete honor, joy, and a pleasure to have you as a guest today. I've really enjoyed our conversation.
Thank you so much. It was great being here. I was nervous, but I guess you went good.
You've done great. And I think there was just this theme that ran through your whole conversation. And it's self-love, and that's important. And we can't stress that enough, how self-love can change our lives in ways that nothing else can.
That's exactly right. It's something that we have to realize and to work on if we haven't, to stop looking for love in somebody else or in places or things, because the love we are seeking, it's already within us. It just needs to
Yes.
be discovered.
Perfectly stated. I love it. So, the one thing I want to leave you with after saying thank you so much for your time and your energy and your conversation today is I want you to know that in my eyes, you are indeed an authentic gay man.
Oh, thank you so much. I really appreciate that.